Red Grooms is a flat-topped, gray-haired man in the long-haired New York art world. Red Grooms wears Southern Fried tan wash pants and frayed checkered shirts in the somber, black-suited New York art world. And no one has ever painted New York quite like Red Grooms, who's actually from Tennessee. In his paintings, portraits, and constructions, New York and New Yorkers can look like so many colorful and distinctive many-legged insects in a vast and powerful ant pile.
I think my problem was that I used to like to look at the Farmer's Almanac at my grandmother's house in Nashville, and they would have this page where they had all these people on a, like at a fishing hole, say, or a state fair or something like that, and they'd all be these activities, you know. And so it was just the opposite of a monolith that was just all this busyness. So, unfortunately, I got this kind of an appetite for that busy stuff.
Quite a lot of Red Groom's busy stuff has been on display recently. An exhibit of his portraits has just closed at the Katona Art Museum in Westchester County, New York, and will open next month at the Norton Museum in West Palm Beach, Florida. There's another traveling exhibit now at the Plains Museum in Fargo, North Dakota. He may be the most famous artist who ever actually took the famous artist school drawing course that used to be advertised on so many matchbook covers across the country. The ad often pictured a portrait of a deer and the invitation, "Draw Blinky."
It was exciting because you'd send in your work and then it would come back to you with the tracing paper on top with red lines, you know, by this professional, very slick. It was fun, and except that it took a long time to get the lesson back, maybe like 2 months or something. Mm-hmm. So you're waiting anxiously for the 2 months. Mm-hmm. It was a 24-installment course, and I don't think I got past the 6th installment.
Mr. Grooms apparently learned a lot in those 6 lessons in 1953. He then went to the Art Institute of Chicago, where he first saw people living in tall towers and scrambling through subways. Then, in his early 20s, he hit New York.
When I came to New York, you know, I hit 23rd Street, and everything's right on top of you. You don't get any view of anything. I was close to panic, you know, immediately.
We met Red Grooms a few weeks back in the house he keeps as a studio downtown, just below Chinatown. When Mr. Grooms bought the house, it was a neighborhood of warehouses, garages, and small factories. Today, it teems with co-ops, art galleries, and wine shops. But Red Grooms still paints the iron and sweat he sees in the city. We stop before a wood panel that's almost the size of a billboard. It is laced with familiar-looking iron braces.
This is, I think, my last effort at the Brooklyn Bridge. I've done a lot of Brooklyn bridges.
Yeah.
This one, I took the view, the famous Joseph Stella Brooklyn Bridge, which I've always liked very much. It has the sort of iconic view of the towers. Mm-hmm. And what you're looking at right now, you don't see any figures on it, but it'll have plenty of people on the boardwalk and
well,
cars.
I noticed there are holes drilled.
Yeah, right. That's
for
that's for the people.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So you know who's going to be on that bridge?
Oh, yeah. We have all the characters. My assistant, Tom Burkhart, has done a lot of the woodwork. He works down in the basement, and I do the painting up here on the ground floor.
Red Grooms creates more characters in his canvases than most Russian novelists. He has another large easel showing 3 men in gray silhouettes, 2 men in barber's chairs, and a barber. Gray stone shrouds against a window on a city that brims with color, flesh, and electric lights.
That's called crew cut. That's also another wooden piece. I always get my hair cut in Chinatown, so I'm sort of an expert on Chinese barbershops.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one particularly good one on Pell Street. These figures will ultimately be set up in this kind of triangular shop.
Oh, I get it now.
Yeah, this is the barbershop. See, this is basically the study for it here.
Yeah. I got to tell you, Mr. Grooms, I'm a little embarrassed. I saw the 3 figures in the easel, and I thought that was the art piece.
No, that's just, we'll see.
I like it that way.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Not me.
Yeah.
I have to be busy. I have to keep adding.
Ironically, Mr. Grooms says the first artist he seriously studied was Rembrandt, a man who painted portraits of somber Dutch burghers.
Of course, his portraits are kind of like mountains. You know, there isn't hardly anything in the background, really. Mm-hmm. There's just this, you know, monumental personage there. And those eyes and mouths and stuff.
Stuff is what Red Grooms paints. The broad strokes are studded with details that some critics have called cartoonish, not a phrase that offends Red Grooms, by the way, and colors that might make a rainbow blush for having too few options.
You know, people are more offended by exuberant color than almost anything else. And I guess I do that to people sometimes, you know, but
yeah.
But I don't know, sometimes I just let it go with the color, put everything in.
When you say people are more offended by exuberant color, I mean, it sounds like this is something you've heard over the years.
Oh, I have, yeah.
People
and
say,
I don't know why. How I always said, like, my mother had good taste. She would take me to get my clothes, you know, and mm-hmm. she had, like, a tasteful color sense, and I'm not exactly sure what went wrong, you know, with me. I have no color theory at all, zero. The only thing I do have is a kind of a... I just listen almost for a voice that just tells me, okay, this is the color here, mm-hmm. like an intuition, and that's what I do.
So today, in a Soho peopled by artists darting about in minimalist black suits, sweaters, turtlenecks, and tight black jeans, hanging their works in severe white-walled galleries, Red Grooms is ever the rebel.
I always really wanted to be sort of out of the real art world, you know, like a serious art world. And I just thought I was, you know, what I did was a sort of a contrast to, say, the minimalists, for instance. I always thought that was really kind of funny that I would do these things, like we say, so busy.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing these very minimalistic plywood boxes and things like that. And yet I felt like I was really coming out of that same art world that they were. And that I could even sometimes was inspired by what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Except that it just looks so completely different, you know, from the outside.
He works in this house from 10 to 6 every day. Some of the most hot and chic restaurants in New York are just around the corner. Red Grooms barely knows their names, much less their menus. He stays in his studio drinking coffee for mental fuel and counting on inspiration to come into his hands.
It's always the last bit of the day, like the 4 to 6 part, mm-hmm. is where you really feel like you're getting anywhere. You know, where you finally get rolling, you start yeah. getting into it. Your inhibitions start to fall away or something like that.
You have inhibitions still?
Every day. Like probably a pro quarterback has inhibitions. You know, he probably feels unconfident in the morning or something like that. Yeah. I don't know if that's true. I'm just my own theory.
Well, I think so, but I mean, they can be run over by a 400-pound lineman. You're Red Grooms.
That's not very assuring, I can assure you.
Yeah.
You think an artist like Monet, he must have known what he was doing, but maybe he didn't, you know.
Red Grooms, a collection of his portraits, ranging from unnamed New Yorkers to Elvis Presley, Napoleon, Buster Keaton, and Jackson Pollock, opens at the Norton Museum in West Palm Beach next month. A more general collection is now on display at the Plains Museum in Fargo, North Dakota, until the end of May. But Mr. Groom says it might be warm enough for him to actually visit.